Well, our concern has been that it's been 4 months since those attacks occurred in July. In the immediate aftermath of the attacks, we saw, you know, quite a bit of pretty abusive action on the part of the security forces. Some of that was even broadcast on Ugandan television. There were some indiscriminate shootings. There were quite a few arrests. There were quite a bit of beatings, torture at the police stations. And all of that was very troubling. There were commitments to investigate. But in the end, we haven't seen any serious or meaningful investigations into those abuses. And in the end, we saw a really large number, almost 170 people, we believe, have been charged before the military courts. Human rights groups and the African Commission have told Uganda not to prosecute civilians before its military courts, and yet again, that's been the tool that the government has chosen to use. So I think the response has been piecemeal and really insufficient to hold everyone responsible for the acts of violence that took place.
Yeah, local media reported then, and in your report, you describe what seems like reprisal attacks or even torture by government forces. Have you had any response from the Ugandan government about that?
We haven't had a response since our recent research came out, no. I mean, I think it's quite disturbing that video footage was distributed and shown on television in Uganda and that there haven't been meaningful acts taken to address or investigate those abuses. I mean, some of the incidents where people were beaten, hit in the head with stones by either police or who we believe were, you know, local intelligence officers, you know, those incidents should be investigated and people should be held responsible.
How confident are you that the government will be able to have carry out a credible and independent investigation?
Well, we remain hopeful that the government is committed to justice. Clearly, it serves the region's best interest if these events are not swept under the rug, but in fact, you know, that there are credible investigations. In general, over my years in investigating human rights abuses in Uganda, it's been very difficult. I would say, in general, in some cases, investigations start, but rarely do we see things come to a meaningful conclusion, especially in a timely way. As everyone knows, Ugandan courts have dragged significantly with investigations. We remain optimistic, but we certainly hope that Ugandans and other actors will, you know, demand that there is justice for these attacks. We're very concerned that this must just be neglected or ignored.
The report mentions a number of mass graves discovered after the attacks. Do we know who were buried in those graves?
It's not clear. The government hasn't said for sure who is in those graves. It would appear that at least in some of the graves, there are the bodies of some of the attackers. But when we were interviewing people on the ground who live near places where there are graves or where even in some cases bodies had been exhumed, they said that they hadn't been interviewed or there hadn't been police investigations talking to community members about who's missing and who those bodies are. So I think there are still a lot of really open and troubling questions about who's in those graves. When we speak to local members of a peace committee who's managed to gather a list of 83 missing people from one community, you know, that remains really troubling. It's been 4 months. Where are those people?
On the issue of trying civilians, those allegedly involved in these attacks in court martials, why do you think the court martials can't deliver justice?
It's not about who can deliver justice. It's about ensuring that people are prosecuted by a competent court. And the African Commission and other human rights bodies have consistently taken the position that civilians should be prosecuted in civilian courts where they are tried by their peers. And I know that the Ugandan military has historically taken the position that if you, you know, use a gun, that is the monopoly of the UPDF, but clearly that's not true. Uganda's civilian courts prosecute people who use guns to commit crimes every day. So I think our concern is that the military courts have been used for political expediency or somehow to try to intimidate individuals who the government perceives to be challenging the central government. That's not why a military court should ever be used. Civilians can be prosecuted before civilian courts, and Uganda's courts should be able to do that.